Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the latest BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Tuesday, the 18th of November, 2025. Glad to have you with me. Well, you'll see on the site that we've got a couple of stories today on the big international global story, and that's to do with the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. He died in jail in 2019, supposedly committed suicide, but there are many who believe that there was foul play at work there. And ever since, there's been an outcry in the United States for more information. The allegation was that Epstein had the goods on lots of people, very powerful people, and that if he, this paedophile, who essentially was a sex trader in underage children, would be able to disclose information that would bring many down. Well, we already know that Randy Andy, Prince Andrew, has lost his title. He's no longer a prince because of his direct relationship with Epstein. But today there are big disclosures. Larry Summers, an avowed antagonist towards Donald Trump. In fact, if there's been one famous economist in the United States who has been outspoken in attacking the Trump organization and Trump himself and Trump's presidency, it's Larry Summers. Summers is a lecturer at Harvard University. He used to be the Treasury Secretary, call that finance minister in our terms, when Bill Clinton was in office. And he has a paid job as a commentator with Bloomberg. So all round, a guy who's right up there in the standings, excepting not after today. What's happened is that thousands of emails that were sent to Epstein have now been put into the public domain. And among them are emails from the same Larry Summers. And amongst those emails is an attempt to receive advice from Epstein on how Summers could pursue an extramarital affair with a woman that he was obsessed with. Summers was married in 2005, and those emails were in 2018 and 2019. So not a good story. But we at BizNews would have kind of known something about this because one of our columnists, Dirk Hartford, wrote a piece a little while back where he told of a party that he was at in Westcliff in Johannesburg, where the star of the show was one Bill Clinton, and alongside him, Kevin Spacey, the movie star. And they'd arrived with a bevy of beauties at this party on and come to South Africa on the private jet owned by Jeffrey Epstein. So there's a lot of connections that are now being exposed. And Donald Trump, certainly yesterday, according to the Financial Times, and that's another piece you'll find on BizNews, has said that he now supports the investigation into Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, the founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, and others. The web is wide and runs deep, and it's a story that hasn't been touched in the South African media, maybe because Clinton is such a hero in our country, or amongst the chattering classes anyway. But we shall see, as this all unravels, that maybe it isn't Donald Trump, who's the one who has to fear most from his connections with Epstein, but others who held his post and other very powerful positions. The Epstein files are not just of curiosity value. If people who would participate in that kind of relationship with a man who has been widely exposed for being amongst the lowest of the low, then you have to wonder what else has been going on behind the scenes. How much of the swamp is being drained and how much still needs to be. On the investment side, well, I had a fascinating conversation today with Piet Viljoen and Magnus Haystack. We will be processing it all and sharing it with you on the BizNews briefing tomorrow evening on ENCA at 7:30. And then the director's cut, which is the full discussion, the full interview, which in this case was 45 minutes, that will be tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. So there's quite a bit of work that the production team have to put together to compile this. But it really was a fascinating conversation, and I'm sure you're going to thoroughly enjoy it. Piet is ahead by 65,000 Rand. Both of them, both Piet and Magnus, are in the black after Magnus had a terrible start to the whole procedure. Remember, what happened was a community member gave us R1 million and said, please invest this with one protagonist who believes that it's best to invest offshore and another who believes it's best to invest locally. And I would recommend that you put Piet on the local is lekker side and Magnus on the offshore side. Well, that duly happened. Magnus and Piet agreed to a 5-year competition. We are now 4 years into it. And with a year to go, it looks very, very much like Piet, who did a bit of a Zola Bud in this. He hit the front right from the gate, and he's been just extending his lead pretty much most of the time. Magnus did get back to him, quite close to him, until a few months ago. But now with the Rand appreciating, and that's where Piet is getting his value, he's gone still further ahead. So it's for Lyons to lose as we are sitting now. But there were really interesting insights from the two of them. And just in a nutshell, if you recall that with the BizNews portfolio, when I took, that was the portfolio on shift, I took the view that we should be putting some of that, around 40% of it, into the South African market. And in other words, not being 100% exposed to US equities. When that happened some time back, there was quite a lot of concern and confusion among our tribe members. The idea being, but hang on a minute, I thought this was an offshore portfolio. Well, any portfolio is there to generate the maximum amount of return that you can, rather than sentimentally or being painted into a particular focus point. Anyway, that decision has really turned out well, because South African stocks are about the best performing in the world. And as you heard, no doubt, on my report back from the mini budget, there's quite a lot of reasons to believe that things are actually moving in the right direction at last. There was a very interesting discourse this morning in the FT News briefing. And here's George Steer, who's the US markets editor for the FT, telling us what's happened to crypto, where $1.2 trillion in value has been lost since Donald Trump's inauguration.
Global cryptocurrency market hit a fresh high on October the 6th, when the total value peaked at around $4.3 trillion. And then it slipped a little over the next few days, but the sell-off really intensified on October the 10th when Trump came out and threatened massive tariffs on China. And that was at a point in time when the market had kind of assumed that the worst of the tariff back and forth had passed. So there was a big sell-off, and that sell-off kind of spilled over into the crypto ecosystem and sparked this huge sell-off for a lot of the kind of mid-tier and lower quality coins, some of which shed like half of their value within 24 hours. And then you add on the fact that the Federal Reserve at the end of October said that a December rate cut might not be a foregone conclusion. And you have like all of the ingredients for kind of profit taking among some of the more speculative assets that have soared and had soared earlier this year.
So just for context, a whopping $1 trillion has been wiped from the board since October 6th. George, what's going on? I thought Trump and the peelback of regulation was supposed to make for ideal conditions for crypto traders.
Yeah, we had the Genius Act went through in the summer, which was designed to regulate and kind of legitimize stablecoins, which can act as a sort of intermediary. So people who want to buy one token in exchange for another token often have to buy a stablecoin to kind of facilitate that trade. I think just the kind of, it's all about vibes, the crypto market. And so just Trump, who has been very, very pro crypto since his return to office this year, I think him coming in at the beginning of the year sparked this huge rally, not just for Bitcoin, but for a lot of the smaller coins below it, because the Trump administration has reversed a lot of the regulations that the former head of the Securities and Exchange Commission had enacted under Joe Biden. So there's a kind of like a light touch feel to the regulatory environment in the US right now. And that has kind of underwritten some of the surge in the broader market.
Yeah, not such good times for the crypto guys, as far as we're concerned. If you might remember that we put 2% of the SHIFT portfolio into crypto. It's now gone up to 10%, so it's been a heck of a performer. And one of the interesting things that Pete Fillion spoke about today was that he would most definitely have invested in crypto 4 years ago in the competition against Magnus if he were allowed to, because he's been buying crypto every month for the last 9 years. So we might be going through a slump right now, but if Pete Fillion thinks it's worth having a little bit of your portfolio there, who are we to disagree? I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.